Yo, and you're tuned to the stream again of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. This is your canned version of Free Radio Santa Cruz's March 14th edition. I'm making it beforehand, but I'm making it on the same day. Got some interesting stuff coming up from Ross Camp. We're going to look back at the shitty council's latest sellout of the Ross Camp. And some other tidbits, too. A lot more to come on Sunday in the longer show, assuming I get to it. And if you get to me with your information and news, the number to call in at is 831-423-4833. You can do that during the show if you want, but you'll probably catch my machine. You can leave me a message, contact point, or a brief account of anything you want to say on the show. But you can also catch me at other times as well. That's the number for HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. It's also a contact point for Free Radio Santa Cruz in case you want to be a member of the collective or you have some tips about finding a studio space. We'll pay for one, both renting one, and we'll pay the tipster looking for a 10x10 space with, electricity and internet and bathroom and the usual stuff that you regular listeners have been hearing about forever. And also, of course, we're looking for a transmitter site, which is a little more dicey, but that means we'd actually get back on the air again, which we're hoping to do soon, by the way. Even if we have to put it atop City Hall, we'll see. But get back in touch, and in the meantime, listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz coming right at you, and this particular show, which now begins.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So we're going to begin this show with the last shitty council meeting. That's Santa Cruz City Council, where essentially the city council majority dumped the old guard, which was able to recruit again Justin Cummings, supposed new progressive, to essentially once again set up a drop-dead deadline for the campground, which would be now the April 17th. It was March 15th. And the previous deadline was contingent upon there being adequate shelter spaces. This deadline has no such requirement, simply that two spaces be open, at least according to Jessica York, who is, of course, the Sentinel reporter of Broken Record, or you might say Public Broken Record, or Public Record, if we want to be polite about it. And what she says is the only conditions on the closure of the camp by April 17th is that the Salvation Army reopens a 60-tent homeless camp. That's the barbed wire, boneyard, gravel, kind of crammed in, cheek by jowl, tent next to tent, Riverside campground that they had along Highway 9 before the River Street campground that costs so much, $75,000 to $90,000 a month. I'm not sure if it's still that amount. And also a 50-space pilot project transitional encampment or rest stop style overnight camp for 50 spaces. Now, maybe that means 50 spaces for more than one person. But in any case, that really can't address the 200 or 300 people at the Ross Camp currently, assuming that they need a place to go, which one suspects they do because they're there. And who would want to live there if you don't have a if you could live somewhere else. I suppose there's the argument that Brent Adams has made that that's a drug camp and that people go there and live there because of the drugs. And I actually haven't heard that argument from anybody in the camp, but I admit they would also be reluctant to make that argument if it were, in fact, actually the case. So it's a little unclear. But the people I know aren't living there for that reason. At least that's not why they tell me. And, of course, what's happened here is that the city council majority has changed. Justin Cummings had previously specifically said that there will be no closure on March, suspended the March 15th closure date, which had been set, until there's such time as there really is adequate shelter for everyone. Now it's no longer everyone. It's simply these two campsites, the 1220 River Street campsite and a 50-space pilot program transitional campground, which apparently the city staff is now hurrying to open up. That's Susie O'Hara and Tina Scholl of infamous history in this whole situation, who have previously made promise after promise that has been broken and that has little to do with the real needs of homeless people, but a lot to do with the public relations cover and funding, what I call grant grabbing as well, and also sort of placating the liberal qualms of some people in Santa Cruz that, gee, is it actually right to, you know, throw people out on the street or out of the campsites they're in and send them nowhere? That doesn't sound right. Now, of course, they also have the problem that there's a court decision, Boise versus Martin, that forbids that and makes it a criminal behavior by the authorities. Of course, criminal behavior by authorities is nothing new in Santa Cruz or other cities, so we shouldn't be too surprised. I'm probably going to do a longer discussion of this on Sunday, although I don't know how much of the city council's evening homelessness session that they had on Tuesday that I can actually stomach listening to it again, or how patient I will be with it, I don't know. But I'm going to begin today with sort of the nail on the coffin that Justin Cummings essentially pounded in a kind of an orchestrated situation where the Mayor Watkins recognized him. He made the motion, and Cynthia Matthews seconded the motion. Now, there was considerable discussion afterward, and there was some modification of the motion, but I think York probably got it right. That's Jessica York, the Sentinel writer, when she describes that brief description that I just gave you about these two camps now being the requirement before the April 17th closing, and after that they close it up and disperse people. There's also a bit of new information in the article, not to mention endless bigoted comments afterward, ranting and raving on the Sentinel website about the evils of the homeless and the drug camp and so forth. There's some interesting comments from the fire chief about the need for safe ingress and egress and urging campers to rearrange their possessions and discard refuse, which is fine. But there is the comment that there had been I thought I saw something mentioned about the need to take some kind of action. This was brought up at the Huff meeting. Some folks had heard somewhere that there was a real desire on the part of some city agency to do some kind of operation on pipes underneath the campground, and that was one of the reasons they were trying to clear them out so rapidly in March. But I don't know what the real skivvy is on that. I haven't got the details, and it doesn't seem to be in this article. I had thought that there actually was such a thing. Of course, York's article does not mention at all the broader homeless population in Santa Cruz, nor the number of people that are in the Ross camp. And that is, although she goes great detail about how unsanitary and crowded and dangerous it is, and there have been three deaths there, and she doesn't mention that there are four deaths, actually, one in the parking lot that doesn't have to do necessarily with the Ross camp, that only one has been directly linked to any drug overdose, for those who like to rant and rave about drug use, which is happening in the camp and is happening among the homeless population. Try living outside and see how you feel after a while. I guess it would be one comment to that, not that it's a good thing to do, but it may be a sort of an understandable response for some folks. And it certainly is a necessary reality, unless you want to discard people who are drug addicted or somehow make the fantasy claim that there are drug programs available for folks at a rate that is commensurate with the drug addiction in the population, at least among those who want to go into those programs. So let's listen now to a tiny bit of the city council meeting from 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock on the Tuesday the 12th.
I think one of my questions was answered with respect to wet shelters, although I do think it's worth acknowledging
Sandy
that
Brown.
If we are not going to consider some alternative spaces that are a low barrier in that way, perhaps we wouldn't call them wet, but more tolerant, that we are not addressing all of the population at the Gateway encampment. I mean, that just has to be said. So, you know, I do hope that we can have that conversation and figure out what to do about that, because I don't think it's, at least not for me, I'm not willing to say that we're going to close or, you know, completely shut down the Ross camp if we don't have those alternatives. It's really important that we recognize reality.
And that, of course, is something that Justin Cummings is willing to say and was never willing to explain why he is willing to say it or why he is willing to do it. It has to be said there's a couple of peculiar things about this council meeting that I noticed, which may or may not be relevant, but I'll mention them anyway. There was a closed session of the city council in the morning, kind of an early time to have it, but I guess the agenda was packed with items. None of them mentioned the Ross or Gateway Camp, as Sandy Brown calls it. But immediately after folks made public comments in what's called the open interval before the closed session, which happens at 10:45, and the closed session prepared to go sort of into a closed room where they would make their backdoor deliberations about what's going on, their back room deliberations, I should say. The city attorney interrupted and said, just a moment, Mayor Watkins, let me point out that, I'll play exactly what he said.
I don't believe we have any other additional public comments, so at this time, I will adjourn the meeting to the courtyard conference room where the council will go into its closed session.
Pardon me, Mayor Watkins. Announcement. The two anticipated litigation items on your closed session agenda under item C relate to, one, the Verizon encroachment permit that was on your February 26th agenda. That was an encroachment permit for a design permit that was approved by the city, and that was out on Morrissey Boulevard. The second significant exposure to litigation item relates to the homeless encampment behind the Ross building.
Okay. Thank you, City Attorney Condardi.
Just a point of order. Tony, why are you announcing those now, and why weren't they in the agenda previously? I mean, we're in public session now, so they could have been here.
I'm doing it for the minutes as to just affirm that we have complied with the Brown Act with respect to significant exposure to litigation items. The Brown Act requires that there be an announcement. If the circumstances are known or a threat of litigation has been made.
Because folks who might have wanted to speak on this may have come and they saw it in our agenda earlier.
So, okay, at this time we'll adjourn to our courtyard conference room.